Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's good to be here today, this morning, and I know my mom and Tim aren't here, but we're going to worship and praise the Lord like we always do, and we're going to study the Word like we always do. It'll be a little different this time because there's no piano music, but we'll just sing some choruses, I think, and have a good time worshiping the Lord. Before we do that, I'd like to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this opportunity to gather in Thy name. We thank Thee for this opportunity to worship You. We ask that Thou wouldest be here today with us, and that Thou wouldest bless each and every one here in attendance, and those who may hear this message later. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. All right, so I thought what we'd do is sing a few choruses. And the first chorus I'd like to go to is number 32 in the chorus book, On the Other Side. On the other side, treasures there have I, treasures that the world and all its wealth could never buy. And when I reach that city and the gates swing open wide, I'll find my treasure waiting on the other side. On the other side, treasures there have I, treasures that the world and all its wealth could never buy. And when I reach that city and the gates swing open wide, I'll find my treasure waiting on the other side. On the other side, treasures there have I, treasures that the world and all its wealth could never buy. And when I reach that city and the gates swing open wide, I'll find my treasure waiting on the other side. Praise the Lord. And that's what we want, treasures in heaven. The things of this earth don't matter. It's the things that will happen in heaven. The treasures waiting for us there. Praise the Lord. I'm looking forward to that. The next chorus I'd like to go to is just across the page, number 36. I love Jesus best of all. For He saves my soul from sin, gives me peace and joy within. I've been buried in His name, and of Him I'm not ashamed, for I love Jesus best of all. For He saves my soul from sin, gives me peace and joy within. I've been buried in His name, and of Him I'm not ashamed, for I love Jesus best of all. For He saves my soul from sin, gives me peace and joy within. I've been buried in His name, and of Him I'm not ashamed, for I love Jesus best of all. Praise the Lord. I really like that chorus a lot. And, one thing about that chorus is it tends to get stuck in your head. I know it. Sometimes it's stuck in my head for days, but that's all right because it's a good song to have stuck in your head. Praise the Lord. Why don't we go now to number 108 in the chorus book, He Set Me Free. He set me free, oh, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory, hallelujah, He set me free. He set me free, oh, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus. Jesus to see. Glory, hallelujah, he set me free. He set me free, oh, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory, hallelujah, he set me free. Praise the Lord. He has indeed set us free. I'm so thankful for that this morning. Glory to God. Why don't we go now to number 89 in the chorus book. God can do anything. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. Praise the Lord, and we know that our God can do anything. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we sing 90 right below that, the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. I am so thankful for that refuge for our souls. Well, why don't we go to 94 right across the page, wherever I am. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him whenever I can. I'll praise Him for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him whenever I can. I'll praise Him for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him whenever I can. I'll praise Him for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Glory to God. It's so good to worship and praise the Lord. Why don't we, well, we haven't sung this one in a long time. Why don't we sing the one right above it, 93, I'm Not Sorry. I'm not sorry, I'm not sorry, I've answered the Master's call. Jesus took my heavy load, and now I'm on the glory road, and I'm not sorry, no, I'm not sorry, no, I'm not sorry at all. I'm not sorry, I'm not sorry, I've answered the Master's call. Jesus took my heavy load, and now I'm on the glory road, and I'm not sorry, no, I'm not sorry, I'm not sorry at all. Glory to God, I certainly have no regrets about getting on that glory road. Praise the Lord for that glory road. Why don't we go to 67, Jesus is a Miracle Worker. Jesus is a miracle worker, a miracle worker, a miracle worker. Jesus is a miracle worker. Oh, let Him work in you. I know Jesus can do anything. He can touch the lame in His name. I know Jesus can do anything. Oh, let Him work in you. Jesus is a miracle worker, a miracle worker, a miracle worker. Jesus is a miracle worker. Oh, let Him work in you. I know Jesus can do anything. He can touch the lame in His name. I know Jesus can do anything. Oh, let Him work in you. Jesus is a miracle worker, a miracle worker, a miracle worker. Jesus is a miracle worker. Oh, let Him work in you. I know Jesus can do anything. He can touch the lame in His name. I know Jesus can do anything. Oh, let Him work in you. Praise the Lord. And Jesus is a miracle worker. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Why don't we sing 68, the one right below that? He's the Lord of glory. He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful. The Prince of Peace is He, the everlasting Father throughout eternity. He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful. The Prince of Peace is He, the everlasting Father throughout eternity. Praise the Lord. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of our faith. Glory to God. I think what we'll do now is take up the tithes and offerings. Chuck, could I get your help with that? Thanks. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes and these gifts and these offerings. We ask that thou wouldest bless each giver and bless those who are unable to give as well. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Well, before we get into the word, I think maybe we should sing one more chorus. Sing number 18 in the chorus book. Used to be one of my favorite songs when I was a kid. It's called There's a Flag Flown High. There's a flag flown high from the castle of my heart, from the castle of my heart, from the castle of my heart. There's a flag flown high from the castle of my heart, for the king is in residence there. So wave it high in the sky, let the whole world know, let the whole world know, let the whole world know. Wave it high in the sky, let the whole world know that the king is in residence there. There's a flag flown high from the castle of my heart, from the castle of my heart, from the castle of my heart. There's a flag flown high from the castle of my heart, for the king is in residence there. So wave it high in the sky, let the whole world know, let the whole world know, let the whole world know. Wave it high in the sky, let the whole world know that the king is in residence there. Praise the Lord, and I am so thankful that Jesus has taken up residence in our hearts. You know, that's another one of those songs that's kind of catchy and gets stuck in your head. I was actually whistling it the other day for just a few minutes, and my wife, she made a comment, yeah, that's stuck in my head now too. Praise the Lord. Well, I think what we'll do now is get into the Word. And today we are going to have a study, and I'm going to call it The Resurrection and the Life. We're going to be opening to the Gospel of John chapter 11 to begin, and before we do that, I would like to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to study thy holy word. We ask that thou wouldest be here today with us in the hearts of each and every one of us. We ask that thy word would make an impact on our lives. We ask that these words would sink down deeply into our hearts and that the enemy would not be able to steal them away. We ask, O God, that thou wouldest give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. All right. Well, it's been somewhat of an emotional week for me. It usually is this time of year. I'm sure you all know that on June 8th, 2010, my dad went on to his eternal reward. And, of course, yesterday was the three-year anniversary of that. And June 5th is also his birthday, so that week, I just spend a lot of time thinking about my dad, and of course I really miss him, and I wish he were up here instead of me, but that's not the way things were meant to be. And I know that even though he's not here with us today, he's still very much alive, and that's the topic we're going to look at today, the resurrection and the life. We're going to look at a promise that Jesus made to each and every one of us. Now, in John chapter 11, this is quite a story. We're going to hear about a man named Lazarus, a man who is the brother of Mary and Martha, and someone who Jesus loved very dearly. But he fell ill, and as we'll see in reading, he actually died according to this world. He wasn't really dead, but to this world he looked dead. And in John chapter 11, verse 1, it tells us, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." If you recall that story of the woman who came in and anointed Jesus' feet with ointment and then wiped him with her hair, that was actually Mary. It tells us that right here. "Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now, was Jesus lying there? No, of course not. It's impossible for Jesus to lie. But in these subsequent verses, it looks like Lazarus died. He did not. Jesus was telling the truth there. This sickness was not unto death. This was all preordained so that God would receive the glory for what was about to happen. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. So Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, but he didn't come right away. He waited around a couple of days, and people might wonder, why did he do that? Why was he waiting? He could have gone and he could have healed Lazarus right away on the spot, but he didn't do that. Instead, he waited around, and we'll see why he did that in the following verses. "Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again." Now, at this point in time, the religious elite were not at all happy with Jesus, and they were seeking to kill him. So his disciples were a little concerned that he wanted to go into Judea, as we'll see here in verse 8. "His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. So Jesus said, Lazarus is sleeping, and of course to the world he looked dead, but he was not dead. Verse 12, Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. You know, when you're sick, it's good to get rest and give your body a chance to heal up. And they must have thought, well, you know, if he's sleeping, he must be getting better. But, you know, as far as the world was concerned, Lazarus was dead. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. The event that's about to take place here in the scripture was a turning point. Not only did it make many Jews and others and disciples believe on Jesus all the more, but we'll see that this was one of the events that really strengthened the resolve of the Pharisees to put Jesus to death. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. So Thomas, he obviously was figuring, well, you know, Jesus, if we go up to Judea, they're probably going to kill him, and let's go too so we can die with Jesus. But that's not what happened. It wasn't time for that yet. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. So Lazarus had already been in the grave 4 days. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Martha knew that Jesus could have healed Lazarus. She knew that he probably would have. But we'll see that even death is not too much for the Lord Jesus to overcome. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So Martha did believe in the resurrection, but she thought that would be later. She didn't realize what was about to happen. But these verses, 25 and 26, are two verses I want to really zero in on today. They're so inspiring. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Folks, if you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you've been saved by the mighty hand of Jesus Christ, you will never die. You may leave this world, you may leave this earth, but when you give your final breath here on this earth, you pass through a door into eternity. You will not die. It may look like it to the world, but you're not dead. I was listening to one of my dad's sermons the other day, and he said, someday people might tell you that David J. Meyer is dead, but don't you believe it. And I don't. I know he's alive today. And we all have that hope. We all have that promise from Jesus that we will never die. For through his resurrection, we can be resurrected. You know, when he went to the cross and bled and died for us, he defeated death. And we can claim that victory through Jesus Christ. He freely offers it to each and every one of us. Verse 27, She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. You know, those people were really something. They saw Mary running out, and they thought, well, she's going to the grave to weep. Let's all go with her and watch. Very strange attitude. And, of course, we know that a lot of the mourners back in that day were actually paid mourners. We know that from other stories in the Bible. They were actually paid to weep and were not actually sad at all, but they're just doing it for the money. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. You know, Jesus could see the intentions of those mourners that had come with her, and it troubled him. He actually groaned in his spirit because he knew they were insincere. Verse 34, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Now, verse 35 here, it's the verse that every Sunday school children wants for memory, work. It's just two words, but two very powerful words. Jesus wept. You know, Jesus was both God and man when he was here on earth. And he had the same human emotions that we have. He was in mourning. He wept. Even though he knew what was about to take place, he still wept because he knew. He felt the emotions of the situation, gravity of the situation. He was saddened by what had happened. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" Well, yes, he could have. He most certainly could have. But something far greater was about to happen. Verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." So Lazarus, according to the world's view, had been dead for 4 days. Of course, he wasn't really dead. He had just left his body. Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And that's a good thing. He said, "Lazarus," because the voice of God is so powerful that if he had just said, "Come forth," all the bodies and all the graves would have come forth. That's why he had to specify there, "Lazarus." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about him with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him, and let him go." So this was a mighty miracle. Lazarus had been raised from the dead. And we'll see from these subsequent verses that many believed on him because of that. You know, there's nothing too hard for the Lord, and we are all promised that resurrection. It may not happen like it did for Lazarus, where he's brought back to the earth like that early, but we will be resurrected if we put our hope and our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. And Jesus had just done something wonderful, amazing, astounding, a great miracle. And it's hard to imagine any miracles being greater than that one, but not everyone was happy about it. In fact, some of the people that were there, they went to tattle on Jesus to the Pharisees. It's really something. "Oh, you won't believe what he did this time. He raised someone from the dead." They were actually upset about it. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take both our place and nation." That was really something. They were concerned, you know, if Jesus kept doing those miracles, everyone was going to believe on him. How could you not? But they didn't want to give up their religion, and they were worried that the Romans would come and destroy their nation. So we see it was their earthly concerns that led to the crucifixion of Jesus. They were looking at this from a worldly perspective. They were afraid. They were actually afraid of Jesus because of his miracles, because of the good things he was doing. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, that the whole nation perish not. And of course we know that because he died for the people, we won't perish. He has given us the gift of salvation. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that the nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Praise the Lord. That's you and I, folks. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. So Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, that was the final straw for the Pharisees and the religious elite at that time. They just said, well, that's enough of that. We got to kill this guy. He raised a man from the dead. We can't have that. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, What think ye that he will not come to the feast? So they were looking for him. They were waiting to see if Jesus would come along, because they wanted to take him. Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. So they gave this commandment forth. If anyone sees Jesus, you got to report that so we can find him and we can take him. And they were determined to put Jesus to death. But even in doing so, all they did was bring down their religion and the kingdom of the devil and secure our salvation. For through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we have eternal life. Praise the Lord. What I'd like to do now is go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, it tells us, For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now when the Apostle Paul, who's writing here, when he's talking about an earthly house, he's talking about our bodies. I can't help but think of my dad. The last time I spent any real time with him was on the 23rd of May, 2010. We were having a little family get-together, and I remember he called my brother and I up to his room, and he played a song for us. I guess it was one of his favorites. It was This Old House, and of course we know that in that song the house being referred to is the human body. And I remember, Dad played that song for us, and I wasn't really even sure what to say in that moment, but it was almost as if he was saying goodbye to us, and I think he was. I think he knew what was going to happen. But, we have these earthly houses now, but we're going to have something far better later, and I know that my dad, he had a lot of physical problems in his later years in life. He was in a lot of pain. And I know that where he is now, he has no pain anymore. And He has a new body, a spiritual body. And he's happier than any of us could imagine. Praise the Lord. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Of course, the word tabernacle means dwelling place of God. And God does dwell in us even today, even as we have these earthly bodies, these earthly houses. He dwells within us. In the Old Testament, God had a temple for his people. In the New Covenant, he has his people for a temple. He dwells inside each and every one of us. And sometimes we groan because these bodies can be a burden. Sometimes you feel like you're falling apart, and even myself, sometimes I feel like I'm getting old. I know I probably don't look very old, but I'm going to be turning 30 in a few months in October, and I don't have quite the spring in my step I used to have, but that's only going to get a little bit worse as I grow even older yet. These bodies can be a burden. They slow us down. Sometimes they keep us from spiritual things too. And we all have this strong desire to be in that heavenly city whose builder and maker is God, to be with Jesus and to be with our loved ones that have gone on ahead of us. I know I want that. And really, the only thing about this present world that I like is that I can be with my friends and my family and my church family. And I want to be in heaven, but at the same time, I don't want to be away from my wife either. And so there's a conflict there, but thank the Lord that conflict will be resolved one day, one fine day. And that's something we're going to look at a little on further down in this message. And of course, we know that when we are given our new bodies, our spiritual bodies, mortality is swallowed up by life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame things is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Being present with the Lord is far better. I'm greatly looking forward to that. I'm sure we all are. And I know that's where my dad is right now. He is present with the Lord. Glory to God. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And of course, we all know that we are going to stand in judgment before Christ someday, but if we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, if we've come to Jesus and repented of our sins, he has forgiven us and he has remitted our sins. He's paid the price so that we don't have to. He has defeated sin, death, and hell for us, and we can claim that victory. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in the appearance, and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, that he died for all, and that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto which died for them and rose again. He died for each and every one of us. Jesus Christ died for us, and through him we live. When we live for him, because he died for us, because he rose again, and because he rose again, we will rise again. Praise the Lord. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When we come to the Lord Jesus in repentance, we go down in baptism in Jesus' name, and he fills us with the Holy Ghost. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And although we still wear these earthly bodies for now, that's going to change one fine day. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Jesus Christ reconciled us unto himself. And because of that, he will not impute our transgressions against us. He has forgiven our sins. What's that worth to you? Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took all of our sins upon himself as he clung to that cross. That's why he did it. You know, if he hadn't done that, it would have been impossible for Jesus to die, because the reason we die is because of sin. It tells us in the Bible that the wages of sin is death, and Jesus had no sin, therefore he could not die. Except that he took our sins upon himself, and that's what he did for us. That's why he died on that cross. But he rose again. He was resurrected. He is the resurrection. He is the life. And if we believe on him, we will never die. Praise the Lord. I'd like to go to one last portion of Scripture before we close. Revelation chapter 21. This is a beautiful portion of Scripture. And of course, my dad, a few years back, he preached a sermon called There Was No More Sea. And it was one of the finest messages he ever preached. It's one of my favorites. If you've never heard it, we can get you a copy. It's a wonderful sermon. And he really goes into detail of what these verses mean, particularly where it says in verse 1, there was no more sea. So it's a wonderful message. It's very inspiring. And if you'd like to hear it, we can get you a copy of that. Revelation 21, verse 1 tells us, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." What is that sea that's being spoken of there? It is that separation from the spiritual city, that new heavens, that new earth. It is that separation. It's what keeps us apart. It's It's why we can't be with our loved ones who have gone on. But someday there will be no more sea. That separation will be gone. Seas are often boundaries, and of course we know the book of Revelation uses word pictures. And what it's speaking of there is that boundary from this physical world and heaven. So, like I said, if you'd like to hear more elaboration on what that's all about, my dad did preach a sermon on that, and it's very, very good. Verse 2, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God." God will be with us. He is with us now, but we are going to be with him in his presence in eternity. And it could be much sooner than you think. Verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Do you realize what this verse is saying here? It's saying that God himself will wipe away your tears. And in that new heaven, in that new earth, in that new Jerusalem, there's going to be no sorrow. There's going to be no death. There's going to be no crying. There's going to be no more pain. Those things will pass away. And those who have gone on before us, that's what they get to enjoy now. And we will all enjoy that too. Someday, that sea that separates us will be gone. Praise the Lord. "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." And we know that that fountain of the water of life is Jesus Christ. He is that water that will quench the thirsting of our souls. He is that water of life. "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Of course, verse 8, that's a very grave verse. The consequences of sin are serious. But if you've repented of your sins, if you've received the salvation of the Lord Jesus, your former sins can no longer hurt you, and you will never experience that second death. Praise the Lord. For Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And if you believe on him, you will never die. We have so much to look forward to. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for thy promises. We thank thee for thy resurrection and the life, the spiritual life, the eternal life that we have to look forward to in heaven. We thank thee, O God, for all that thou hast given us. We ask that these words would sink down deep into our hearts. We ask that we would never forget them. We ask that we would never lose our way, but that thou wouldst continue to inspire us, that thou wouldst be with us, and that we would fully embrace thy word, thy promises, so that one day we may experience that new heavens and that new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We thank Thee and praise Thee for all that Thou hast done. We worship Thee and give Thee our hearts. We ask that Thou wouldest be here and go with each and every one of us as we leave here today. In Jesus' name, for the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. And we can close with a chorus. Number 78 in the chorus book, Keep On Walking by Faith. Keep on walking by faith, just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me, He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith, just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me, He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord, and you are dismissed unto prayer.